Hi, I'm Michelle Bangert, Managing Editor of Quality. I'm here today with Dr. Milton Krivokucha. He's the Interim Quality Program Coordinator and Subject Matter Advisor of the Master of Science Quality Assurance Program at California State University, Dominguez Hills, Carson, California. He is past chair of ASQ Quality Management Division and ASQ Fellow, along with many other awards and recognition. So thank you for joining us, Milton.
I'm glad to be here, Michelle.
So you recently wrote about Quality 4.0 for an article for Quality. So can you tell us, how did you get interested in this topic originally?
Okay. This was one of those situations where I didn't set out to research Quality 4.0. I set out in another area, and this is where I ended up. What had happened is, over the years, my position as an advisor to the master's degree students at the university, helping them with their thesis, I frequently got questions related to what is good literature that we could read that'll help us to better understand the business processes today and how quality fits in. And what do you recommend? Because they know that I'm an avid reader. I'm a real bookworm. As I started looking back, going back to the early 90s with L.U. Goldratt's Theory of Constraints, and then Peter Senge's Fifth Discipline, and Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and Jim Collins' Good to Great. I'm running up through 2004, 2005. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't find anything. I didn't see any really outstanding literature, these must reads that were very popular in the 80s, 90s, and the early 2000s. So I thought maybe I was missing something. And looking at the industry trends of digitization, Industry 4.0, I started to read some of these highly technical books, these new areas that support Industry 4.0, like predictive analytics and blockchain, data science, and some of the other areas on artificial intelligence. And they were all kind of standalone, highly technical for technical people. They did have some business emphasis, but not much. And they did have some emphasis on people and just very superficial references. So I redirected my research onto the human side. I looked at knowledge automation, a human guide to artificial intelligence, a practical guide to HR analytics, and Humanity Works, published by the Society of Human Resource Management, of the need for people in the Industry 4.0. And then it all came together for me at one time, whereas I told you I'm a member of the ASQ, and they contacted me that they were developing a team to develop the body of knowledge and set the strategy and provide guidance for Quality 4.0 and how it supports Industry 4.0, and invited me to participate on the team. And I accepted. And coincidentally, at that same time, I finished reading this book on Humanity Works. And then I had that aha moment. All of these books that I read were written in the silos, the technological side and the human resource side. And there was nothing joining the two. There was no method of bringing them both together to be successful. Well, that's what quality is, organizational excellence is all about. Quality began with production processes and how to improve products. Services was kind of a sideline. We're a service-oriented society now. Quality techniques and tools do support service process improvement. But here we are now in the age of digitization, and I had that. That's where I got the idea and brought this all together for the article that I presented as a foundation. There's a foundation from where to begin, because I will tell you, when I joined that team that was working on developing industry or Quality 4.0, they had been together for almost a year. I was a late entry to the program after some people dropped out. I don't know, out of frustration or confusion or making very little progress. And when I joined and I shared my research with them, and they just said that that sounds like a good starting point. Go ahead and let's put something together and roll it out and see what happens. So that's the basis of how I got to that article that I presented for you. In fact, I think someone contacted the team that I was on for Quality 4.0 and said, would your team be able to present something or provide us an update? And since I had been the lead on the research and just prepared an article similar to this, a guidance document, a position paper for Quality 4.0. Then I adapted and prepared this one for Quality Magazine.
Thank you. Yeah, that's an interesting way to get started. And like you said, a lot of good books on, you know, excellence and different things. But yeah, that's interesting how the kind of books fell off after a while and the new topics came up.
And I don't know if today, if the, I'm sure there's experts out there, if they're just not taking the time to publish literature anymore, we've gone to such a digital society and they're presenting it through podcasts as we are here. Mm-hmm. I didn't do my research. I kind of dropped it there because the Quality 4.0 really caught my attention. And that's where I've been focusing my work here the last several months.
Mm-hmm. So for people looking at your article, I know it's an introduction, but is there something you'd want people to take away from it or kind of a main idea that they should get started with?
Yeah, the main idea is they shouldn't be intimidated. As we talk and discuss, we're in a technical digitization society. We are, but it's really not that different than any of the other industry trends we've gone through over the past 20 or 30 years. It's part of an evolution. It's not a revolution. They shouldn't be intimidated. There are basic tools and techniques that have been out there. They've been proven. They've been used successfully for many decades. We just have to adapt them a little bit and recognize what we want, where we want to go, what kind of results we're looking for in this new society, and use those proven tools and techniques to make it happen. And we can't do it in silos. The HR departments can't do it without interacting with the other areas in the organization. The same with the technical side, the data scientists, as I mentioned, all these predictive analytics and blockchain. Yes, they're very knowledgeable people, and I've seen some outstanding algorithms and reports that are generated. But to make it all happen, to bring it together and to break down these silos between these different functional areas of the organization, quality is organizational excellence can do that because they're that unbiased voice of objectivity in the center that will ask more questions than they will answer and stimulate the thought process and get all these areas working in harmony.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think you're right. It is intimidating. So that's a good suggestion just to not get too worried about it before they get started.
Yeah, that was really the intent, to remove the intimidation and confusion. And we have what we need out there already. We just have to change our thought process and get a little more open-minded to it. And I think we can make a lot of progress.
Mm-hmm. In the article, you wrote that the concept of Quality 4.0 continues to evolve. So where do you think it's going in the future? What are the kind of the changing ideas?
I wish I had that answer. Well, we're going into a brave new world here. There's a lot of mystery. Information is changing regularly. I think that we need to maintain that open mind and that and recognize that things are taking place, that we have to change some of these traditional concepts, some of these traditional way of doing things, and make some revisions to the body of knowledge that's out there. I see it as unlimited possibilities. And I think the potential is like phenomenal. I really could not even put a cap on it right now. There's volumes and volumes of information that's out there that's coming in through social media and blogs and chat rooms. And it's called unstructured data. And that's not even in our quality body of knowledge yet. And I think when we start to capitalize on how to gather that data and to make some sense out of it and analyze it and get our subject matter experts in companies, the marketing people, designers, customer service, and make these connections. And hopefully they will have maybe that aha moment like I had here. This isn't where I really had started with my work, but I'm really pleased with where I ended up with the results. I really came on to something that I didn't set out to do. And I think that this is establishing a good baseline to get us moving in that direction.
It's a lot of interesting research, and I think people would like to really follow it because it's new and, you know, they want to jump on board so they're not left behind. So,
yeah. And again, one of the reasons I prepared this, and I'm glad to share it and get it communicated through your magazine there. And also I've done in the past couple months, probably half a dozen presentations related to that topic. Each one is different because I get more information between from the time I make the presentation, then I get some feedback and I get invited to do another one, and things are changing that rapidly. So I update it every time. But primarily what I wanted to do is, as I told you, I'm an MBA first, quality professional second. I enjoy reading. I've been a bookworm my entire life. I can sit down and devour, you know, 2 books a week, you know, very large books. That's really my interest. And I think I've come up with a lot of good information that'll help business managers today, that'll help the MBAs that are running departments, not only in operations, but sales, marketing, HR, even engineering, wherever there's a manager and wherever they've had some MBA experience. I know that their plate is full. There's not enough hours in the day. And this type of information is important to them. I think it's going to be of value. So really, I wanted to share what I've learned over the time I spend here doing my reading and research. And I hope to continue to do this. And I hope to continue adding and expanding this quality four body of knowledge here in the next couple of years, probably anyhow.
That's great. Yeah, that really is changing fast. If from presentation to presentation, there's new information to add. So,
yeah, and I get feedback from people. I share my email with them, and I don't get a lot. I was hoping to get more, but after every presentation, I get three or four who will share what their organization is going through. I've had a couple people contact me that their digital transformation implementation officers, and they've been assigned to do that, and they really don't, that's their title, their target, and they haven't been given any guidance, and they can't find any guidance documents or where to start. Appreciated the presentation. So it's been positive. I didn't know how well it would be received, but so far it's been very positive and it encourages me to continue.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. Is there kind of one main theme of the questions you get? It just sort of like wanting to know more, or are there other areas people particularly kind of gravitate towards?
Yeah. The one main theme is they want to learn more. They want more examples. Yeah. I only have a 40-minute presentation, and to cover this information, I don't have a lot of examples in it, and I wish I had more, and I'm inviting them to share with me their experiences, and I'll make some mini case studies out of it. But that's the common theme, is they want to learn more and see more practical examples how they can make this happen at their organizations.
Yeah, that's encouraging, instead of, you know, people just saying, never mind, no thank you, not for us.
Yeah, right. I haven't got, and the moderators have told me my presentations that one of the areas they see for success is they monitor how many people log in when you begin the presentation. They monitor how many remain active during the webinar whenever you conclude it. I've had some feedback that, usually it's 100% that start in are there whenever I log off. So that's also encouraging. I don't lose them during the presentation.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned you'd like to include more case studies, but are there any you can share now that you do include?
Unfortunately, no. I don't have anything I can share, and that's very discouraging. But you know, we really have just kicked this off here within the last year. I'm sure there's activities out there. I just haven't gotten any feedback yet that I can share with you. And I'm not saying I'm disappointed, but I'm anxious. I'm anxious to hear some.
Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely. Maybe in the future. So yeah, I think those were kind of the main things I wanted to ask you about, but is there anything else you want to mention?
No, I could constantly, I'm looking for feedback. Anyone that wants to share with me their experiences, good or bad. I know, looking back on my evolution through quality, I was one of the first people to get involved in quality when I was working for a manufacturing company back in the 1980s. I'm really dating myself here in the 90s. And I don't want to, I worked manufacturing for 25 years before I moved into higher education. And I don't want to sound negative about my company, but they tried all these TQM, Crosby's quality, Deming's quality, quality circles, ISO, and they failed on just about all of them. And I'm not failed because they didn't know what they were doing. It's just that they kept jumping from one to the other. They were creative, they were innovative, which I encourage. And it really helped me because I learned from a lot of failures over those years. And I'm hoping that what I share here now will set companies up to challenge themselves to take on these new areas, to adapt the quality 4.0 body of knowledge, which we're still developing. It's not out there yet. And they'll minimize their failures and have a higher success rate for the initial implementation of them.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. It's always tempting to, you know, try a lot of new things, but they don't always work.
Yeah, my company did. We tried a lot of new things. They never really explored it, went into a lot of detail. It was very like the flavor of the month and didn't really give it a chance to develop, and then moved on to the next area before they had a chance to really solidify the first one.
So it's easy to chase the next shiny new thing. So
right, yeah.
Makes sense. But okay, well, I appreciate your time today. A lot of interesting information. And again, we'll direct readers to the article too if they want to learn more. But thank you again for joining us today.